Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about validation, self-worth, self-respect, honoring ourselves. And truly, as women, we say, is this a new concept? Have we done it before? Have we been here before? What we're really finding is now in the year 2020, women are really truly saying, is it time to step up? Knowing our self-worth, knowing how we can come from within and truly create a life we choose to live. What is this really all about? Are we able to step out, release some of these blockages that we've had from the past, and be able to say we can now create a life we truly want to live, even if it is our last quarter of living, or even if it is our first? My guest today is Kim Mueller. She is the co-author of She Worth, Inspire, Motivate, Empower, a journal to inspire change based on the principles of habit formation, positive psychology, and women's empowerment. Kim, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Kim, don't you think sometimes when we say, it sometimes depends on the generation that a woman is in for all the blockages or all the challenges they are having today. You know, I mean, we look at a lot of elders and they say, but I don't understand that. That's not how I lived. And they hold on to their old habits and beliefs and truths. Yet we look at younger women and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't show up in my existence. So truly when we're talking about, you know, women's worth and validation and how we show up in the world, there's a great divide between generations, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And in my experience, as I've been exploring, women and their relationship to their own self-worth, it has spanned across the generation. So it's been a fascinating, sociological study of how different women relate to this concept of their own intrinsic self-worth. And right, what I believe is that we all possess the capacity to entertain this possibility and to learn and grow from it. And I think that's what's been most interesting to me, is to hear how I have clients from, you know, in their 20s all the way up into their 80s, going through different stages of life, and how these concepts of their own self-worth land for them. And like you said, for some of the older generations, it sort of takes them by surprise, because they've never had the privilege to really entertain this. And like you said, for the younger generation, they're more steeped in it and have more, mm-hmm. More of a relationship to it. But it is fascinating to see the older generation that I get the privilege to work with to go, wow, I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. And then to hear them share that with their friends, it's been such a joy.
But also, too, I think the idea is that we really truly had to come along in history, like in the year 2020, you know, is now when we're able to start having this kind of language, this kind of dialogue. These words would not have found their place in the 1970s or 80s, because it wasn't something that, you know, the collective or the consciousness was truly opened up to. Just the same thing as the internet. Well, we have talked about the internet in 1940. I don't think so. You know, we weren't collectively ready for that concept. So really when we're talking about worth and validation, while it all seems so commonplace to many, it's very new to others, but we're all having the same revelation at the same time, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Dr. Jeanette. I think there's a groundswell of consciousness around this. And what a privilege for us to pause and recognize we're living in this time that we can actually consider these concepts, you know. And we have to pause and be grateful for, you know, the footwork that women before us have done to lead us to this place. But yeah, and it has to do with the internet as well, in the sense that we have this connectivity to be able to share our stories and realize that we're not in isolation when considering, you know, our worthiness and or lack thereof. So yeah, it's a real privilege for us to be living at this time as women and to acknowledge that this wasn't available, you know, even a generation or two before us.
For about what is truly worth all about? People will say, what do you mean? Is it something that I have to get from the outside, from other people? Is it something that's created inside of me? Or is it something that I have to, you know, don't forget, we always have to say the old has to go out first. So we have to slap our hand and notice the shame and guilt to be able to get to the worth.
It's a great question, because I think that there is a differentiation between outsourcing our self-worth and then just having it from within. And when we think about self-worth as compared to self-esteem, that's sort of where I go from the internal sense of it versus the external. And when we have self-esteem, we're looking for other people to validate us, right? To say, oh, you're good enough in this capacity, or you're okay. And that sort of makes us feel good. But what we're saying with self-worth, it's regardless of what others are saying outside of us, just for being alive and for having our own unique life experiences, we are worthy. So we're really trying to show that this is an inside job. I'm not trying to say that it's impossible to have one or the other, because we are sort of social creatures, right? And we like to get that validation from others that we're doing a good job and we're good enough. However, we need to realize that we need to find that from within as well. And it's sort of an internal sense of, just for being me, I'm worthy. And there is that difference between the external and the internal. And we're trying to say, let's go inside. And if we can come from a place of intrinsic self-worthiness, wow, we're going to show up for relationships in a completely different way, you know, because we believe in ourselves and we're not looking for that external, the likes on Instagram or the, you know, the being told that we're okay. We just show up knowing we're okay from within.
Right. Let's talk for a second about the word change. Everyone says, oh, you mean that I'm not perfect in my form as I am now, and you want me to, quote, be something else. Change is really a tenuous word for many people, because they say, I have to be something else because I'm not worthy, I'm not valued, I'm not perfect. You know, it really brings, it's almost like opening up a can of worms, you know. The word change is almost like, you know, when you use a can opener to go around the can, you can never put the lid back down again. Once it's open, it's open. So when we talk about change, what really are we talking about?
I think change, I agree, it can sound like such a scary idea, or that we're not okay as we are because we need to change. But what I think, when I think about change, I think about deep self-awareness and self-knowledge, right? It's coming from knowing who we are and accepting exactly that person for who they are. It doesn't imply that we need to change. I think that when we have this radical self-knowledge or this awareness, that we can then show up in our relationships in a way that implies I'm okay exactly as I am. I think the change piece comes from just being honest with ourselves about who we are, what makes us feel good, what our needs are, what our needs aren't are. So then we are able to show up living in alignment with who that person is. And that may then result in change. But it's not saying that we're not okay exactly as we are. It's more really getting to know ourselves deeply and accepting ourselves as we are.
Don't you think that sometimes when we say change, it's really that people will say, but if I change, will my life be better? Will things be perfect? Will I be healthy? Will I not have da-da-da-da-da, those negative responses, you know, or those negative things occur in our life, when truly the change is our response on the back end. In other words, we will have disease, we will have car wrecks, we will have loss of money, we will have deaths, we will have grief. All of these things are part of our life. It's just our response and our reaction in retrospect, how we look at things is what we're talking about. Because sometimes people say, when you're going through an event, we want you to change it instantly. Oh, well, I see you have a disease. Okay, but you don't have to go through it and be unhappy. When in essence, maybe you do need to go through it and be unhappy for now. But you can be happy later in retrospect. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we shortchange the process. And when we shortchange that process, sure enough, it's going to show up because it's going to say, have you really felt this all the way through? And the answer is no.
Right. Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think we have to have that. We have to hold the space for whatever is arising in that moment. In fact, it's our very nature. And our nervous system wouldn't allow us to just, oh, this is happening. How can I change this? It's not possible. We have to let it run through us. We have to hold the space for it. We have to be with it. And then, as you're saying, as that moves through us, that experience of sadness or shame or fear, whatever we're experiencing, with the tincture of time, in your own time, there's no sort of prescribed timeline, we're able to look back at that and see what was the lesson or what came up for me through that. We cannot rush that process. We have to acknowledge whatever's arising as it's arising. It would go against our nature, right? To not be, so that it,
right.
If we don't do that, it will get trapped inside of us. So it's holding the space for whatever's arising.
Right, because when we talk about neuroplasticity, we say, can we change the way our brain reacts to things? Our brain is going to react. It's our emotions, our feelings, our humanness, you know? I mean, this is what we're... Ooh, did you hear that thunder?
I did.
Gave me chills.
Oh, wow.
So I think the idea sometimes when we say we can change our brain to always be happy, we can have joy, we can have bliss, and we could see our life only through that veil. And sometimes we don't want to see the other parts of life. You know, when we talk about, let's say when you have a diagnosis of cancer and you say, but I don't want to hang around people that have cancer. They bring me down. And is that truly the message we're trying to speak? I think a lot of times people get mixed up and confused with these, I call them new age words, you know, because a lot of times people will say, I'm trying to get a grasp on it. I'm trying to make changes. And what I always say is words are just words. Just follow through the process, whatever it is for yourself. Don't you think sometimes when we say, I want to do it right, the first time so I don't have to come back again scares people?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I think that there is a misunderstanding that we always have to feel good and be positive and that kind of thing. We would be cutting off 50% of the human experience, right? Of the emotions, which aren't always good, and to give ourselves permission to feel into that, you know? And I think that we would be remiss to think, oh, if we just have positive thinking that everything is going to be fine. We need to be able to really have sort of radical self-honesty and look at what is actually happening around us. And it may not be good. It may be devastating. It may be sad. And when we can acknowledge that, we can release that, you know, and we can befriend that and begin to move through it. It doesn't mean we have to just say, oh, this is all going to be, I could just use neuroplasticity and I'm going to be fine. But neuroplasticity at some level does provide hope if we are sort of stuck in these entrenched patterns, right, or limiting beliefs or narratives that are holding us in a place of suffering. we can begin to restory that over time. And that's where that concept hopefully can provide some hope. But it would be remiss to say it's just, you could just change your brain and everything is good. That's not human, right?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of times, you know, people say, well, I want to buy into that. And they go around and they seek that out so much that they kind of lose track of where they are in the first place. You know, I always use the words neuroplasticity. I really find it as grace for hope to land. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of it as. In other words, you may have a very trying situation today, and you may be feeling really a whole lot of despair and grief. And that's just grace for hope. You know that there's going to be hope, and just have the grace for today. That's it. But then also, too, when you can look back at an experience and you could say, I look back and I know all the struggles that I've done and I know all the things that have happened and look at where I am today and I'm honoring today just as well as I honor the past. So sometimes I think that we can honor also the path that we have walked versus saying, oh, well, I don't want to do that anymore and cut it off, you know.
Right. I think that's beautiful. And I think that speaks to sort of our evolutionary wiring to our brain, which is we are the negativity bias, right? We're very good at encoding in our long-term memory the difficult experiences. And that is deeply sort of embedded in us. But kind of what you're saying is with the tincture of time, as we move through things, can we remember to pause and look back at all that we came through and encode the good? Because that unfortunately does not come naturally for us, but it's such a powerful exercise when we can celebrate those brave moments, which all of us have experienced, you know, and they can be tiny and they can be really, really big, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your book, She Worth. It's a journal where you're able to answer some questions to be able to document your moment in time and to see over a period of time how you are playing out your days. I almost think that, you know, one journal is not something that where you will see and create change instantly. It's almost, you know, you could take 30 days or 45 days or maybe 90 days and work through your book, She Worth, and say, this is where I am today. And you know what I think it's truly about as She Worth is, am I honest with myself? What are my truths? So if you're able to document your truths and use up the whole journal, fantastic. Then you set it down and you get another one and you could start again. Now where can I go from here? So in other words, a book of truths first and then a book of creation next. Don't you think?
Yeah, I love that conceptualization of it. I think that it is constantly evolving, and I think we have to start from that place of truth, like you said, and hopefully, and there's no 30-day magical, you're going to be a different person, but it's taking that time really for self-reflection, which then results in, you know, sort of uncovering our truths about ourselves, right? And that is such a sacred practice that we can take the time and believe we're worthy enough to take the time to reflect on ourselves. So it is, it's an evolving process, right? And the more we cultivate this relationship with ourselves, you know, by getting to know ourselves deeply, the more informed we become, and that then informs how we relate to the world and in our relationships. So I love that idea of it being, there's a starting place, but it's going to keep going. And that it results in self-creation, because once we have that self-knowledge, it's like, okay, now I know who I really am. What do I want to be? What do I want to create in this world?
And then also, too, sometimes you could put it down in your first journaling could be, that's what my ego thought. That's what my brain was trying to tell me. But that's not where my heart is. And once you can open up your heart to be able to say, what do I feel inside? I think that's where a lot of people say, well, I'm not really sure. You know, sometimes before when you start to write things down, you write down these stuff and you're going, oh my gosh, where is this coming from, you know? And then you start writing a different dialogue. And then maybe in your the next run, you might write something totally different. So is maybe your ego and your mind doing the first run? Is your, you know, your past habits or your thoughts of self-judgment? Or is the the shield, you know, that you've been putting up? Is that what you're writing down first? So it takes a while to get to what your heart and soul is really saying. Don't you think that's a valid process? And when you put it down on a piece of paper, it takes it out of the ego and it says, I'm going to set you to the side and I'm going to write today from my heart. Once you can start writing from there, that's when really constructive change and evolution really shows up, yes?
Yeah, I love that, opening up your heart and putting the ego to the side, because I think there's a lot of shoulds when we start to write or to journal and think, I should do this or I should do that, and that's the ego, right? It's not really touching into who we really are and what we really need. And that's, as you said, it's a process and an evolution over time. But if we can stay open to that lack of judgment about what it is that's coming up for us as we're writing or reflecting, it can be a really empowering process. And I think that lack of judgment, one of the main pillars of our She Worth movement is understanding thyself and accepting thyself and really realizing we are worthy just for who we are. And we utilize the ocean, which is the big five personality test in understanding ourselves. Because what we were finding was that many women score high on agreeableness. The acronym is OCEAN, and the A stands for agreeableness versus disagreeableness. And we're all on a spectrum. And many women were scoring very high on agreeableness, which tends to come across as have a general concern for social harmony. We value getting along with others. Sometimes we can be a bit people-pleasing. And on the other end of that spectrum is disagreeableness. We may be more competitive or challenging. It can be seen as argumentative. And so overall, we were finding, in general, women were scoring higher in agreeableness, and that's a beautiful thing. And if one woman scored higher in disagreeableness, that's a beautiful thing. There's no judgment here. It's who we are. And if we can understand that, it's going to inform how we show up in our relationships. More agreeableness, we may sacrifice ourselves and get taken advantage of in certain ways. So it's going, who am I? How am I showing up? And how is these things serving me or not serving me? They're not good nor bad where we fall. They just are. Right? So we're removing that judgment about whether something is good or bad about ourselves and just stepping into that reality and letting that inform, you know, how we show up in our relationships.
You know, it's really interesting. I had a guest on the other day and we were talking about, they reflected upon an acquaintance that they had, and this acquaintance, they kind of felt that it was a negative interaction with this person. And then this person ended up being homeless on the street. And they would look at that and say that that was a negative thing. But in essence, that person that's homeless could be just showing us to know unconditional love. So they played their part that they were put on this earth for very well. Because they showed us, I can engage with you, I can connect with you, then I'm going to go live on the street, and now I'm going to teach you unconditional love. Are you listening? So I think either way, if there's, we say there's positive in our life or negative in our life or good or bad or, you know, either ends of those spectrums, they all have a position and a point to show us something different to learn. And I think if we're actually open to that, that's when the real gems of this lifetime really start to show up, you know, versus saying that we need to fix them because they need to be like us, try to get them over to our side, or we need to treat them or remedy them or whatever that might be, when in essence, their position at that time is exactly where they're supposed to be, and you're where you're supposed to be. It's about awareness. Awareness and observation is the place we are in right now. And I think, isn't that what really we're talking about today, is awareness and openness? And that's what your book, She Worth, is really centered on, yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's putting that to the side and recognizing that we just need to understand who we are and who the other person is. Let them be seen for who they are. don't come from this place of needing to change other so that they can, you can be more comfortable or that they can be like you. It's going, I see you and you see me exactly
right.
as we're showing up in that world. And what is this moment here to teach me? You know, that air of curiosity that we can bring to our interactions is not always natural, but we can remind ourselves when we've gone through something trying or had a difficult interaction with a person, what is this trying to teach me in this moment? There's a release of judgment of whether or not the moment was good or bad for us, right?
Right. Let's talk in closing, Kim, about the idea of dreams and goals. Dreams and goals, people will say, but I did not reach my legacy, you know. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do what I set out to do. And is a dream and a goal something that's attained and it's like the top of the ladder? Or is a dream and a goal about a feeling or about a openness of self or an awareness of self? Or is it something that you have to tack along like Girl Scout badges?
Oh, I love that. Absolutely no Girl Scout badge is required. I think it's more about the process than the outcome. I really think if we can just enjoy the process and step into it with curiosity, the goal or the outcome will be reached. And we may not even know what that is. And so it's more a feeling, right? A feeling of enjoying the process and living in alignment with the person we want to be, and just trusting whatever that sort of goal may be is going to come, and it may not come exactly how we thought it was going to show up. But it's staying more process oriented and knowing if I just do the small things, live in alignment with who I want to be in those small moments, I'm going to land where I need to be, you know?
Right. You know, in closing, it's so interesting. My husband, he sells life insurance. And he goes to the homes to collect their payments. We live in New Orleans, and that's how they do that in this area. But at any rate, someone had said to him one day, what do you do? And he says, you know, I work insurance. And I looked at him, I says, but what do you really do? He says, I go visit people all day long. I'm the only person that they might see for the entire month. That's what I do. You know, and right. So I think
so
that
powerful.
If we could take what we are doing, what we're saying, what you're seeing, and maybe shift it and say, what is that really about? So in essence, if you're going out and you're saying, but I want to be able to get a raise, I want to have a job, I want to be the supervisor, I want to be the owner, blah, 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 what are you really saying? When he's saying is, I just want to connect to people each day. They didn't see anybody this month. That's it. And isn't that what our humanity is about?
Absolutely. Connection, right? It's about reconceptualizing, you know, on the surface, you could say, I sell life insurance, but really what he's doing is connecting. And we know loneliness, you know, the statistics on that are just amazing in terms of it's an earlier, you know, predictor of early death than obesity or smoking. And that is the most powerful gift we can do is to show up and be of service for that person. And if we can reconceptualize every little interaction that we have, whether it's with the checkout person at the grocery store, that is a powerful moment for us, right? To connect.
Yeah, because they notice what you're able to eat. And if you're not eating well, you'll find many checkout people that will say, how can we help you get food stamps? How can we help you get some coupons? You know what I mean? So in other words, try to engage in whatever position you're in for the moment, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if we can really elevate those, you know, seemingly trite interactions that we all have every day to powerful moments of connection, wow, that's a wonderful way to really see the other person and not just move through our day, you know, without connecting.
Right. So I think we can say that what really is our goal? Our goal is to connect. What is really our awareness? It's to see the human condition. And what really is our dream? And it is that we all are able to just have the best life possible. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it starts to go back to the she worth. It starts from feeling that we're worthy of embarking on those those things that you just mentioned. You, every single person is worthy of that pursuit of a life that they feel well lived, you know? And I think some people don't feel that they have the right to that, or they've been told that through their upbringing or through abusive partners. And every single person is intrinsically worthy to seek those dreams.
Absolutely. Well, Kim, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work?
Yeah, sure. So She Worth is a movement, and we're on the web at www.sheworth.org, and there you're going to find resources and inspiring tools to help you live in alignment with that person that you know is inside there, and to really feel truly worthy. There's the personality test there that you can have that continued self-acceptance and self-knowledge, so that you're living in alignment and not compromising yourself in your relationships or in your life. And we have the journal, which is available on all the big sellers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But really the website, sheworth.org, would be the best place to find us. And we're on Instagram and Twitter using the SheWorth handle as well.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us, Kim, because I think as we start to open up, it's kind of, we want to be touchy-feely and we kind of want to be able to have a soft place to land. And definitely the SheWorth Journal is a place to be able to put that which comes into your thoughts and into your mind. You're able to put it down and say it'll be safe and secure and I'm okay. And it's a wonderful book. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette.
If you'd like more information about Kim Mueller, again, her book is She Worth, Inspire, Motivate, and Empower. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page to go directly to the website. And She Worth is on all social media venues, so just check it out and be able to engage with other women who are also experiencing this openness of body, mind, and soul and saying, we can do this. Let's join together. Let's share our thoughts, our moments, and all of these things that we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis, and see how we can support each other along this journey of this lifetime. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.